Thank you so much, Corey. My goodness, I don't think you have been interviewed at all since you joined this league. So I'm very excited to kind of like get you out of your scripted show, ask you a little bit about Hitman, and like have the league get to know you better. Because in the past, when we've had new owners, we've done introduction interviews, and I feel like that just didn't happen with you. So welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thanks. So just a little bit about yourself. You're a trainer, right? Like you're a personal trainer. That's what you do.
Yep.
Who else is a trainer in the league? Because I know David is. I think there's another one.
I would say I think David, and I'm not sure who the other one was, but now so work in strength conditioning down here with down Bradenton, Florida, where it's me and a bunch of 70-year-old people, besides the players that I coach, and that's about it.
So do you train 70-year-olds? Do you go to like a fucking aquatic center with a bunch of like old ladies and do those like, I don't know, aquatic shit?
No, I work for a professional baseball organization. So I'm stationed down here for some of the time. And then I travel around the nation, some of our minor league affiliates, and bounce around a little bit with some rehab guys down here and kind of travel all over.
That's amazing. Do you mind elaborating a little bit more on that? Like what organizations you work for and maybe some trips that you've taken this year?
Yeah, so I've worked for the Pittsburgh Pirates and some trips I've taken this year. So visited our AAA teams up in Indianapolis. Just missed a trip up to AA with our Altoona team. We have a team down here that's our high A team. We have two rookie teams that are in Bristol, Virginia, and then also in Morgantown, West Virginia. And then also we have another A-ball team in Charleston, West Virginia. So, you know, just hit the all the sightseeing tourist spots of America. Check out every Waffle House that you can. But mainly I'm stationed down here for the most part. All the off season I'm stationed down here and primarily work with rehab guys in the off season. So anybody in the organization that's surgery, some things like that, bringing them back as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So many questions. My first and foremost, what was your thought about that Chris Archer trade that the Pirates made? And did that affect you in the organization at all? And what was the perception around that?
No, I love it, man. Love it, man. Chris, a great guy from what I'm hearing. I actually have yet to meet the guy, but awesome dude. The guys that we let go, also great guys. But, I mean, it is what it is. There's organization makes some decisions, and, got to roll with it.
You ever work with Glasnow in Austin Meadows?
Yeah.
Meadows, rather?
Yeah, worked with Tyler Glasnow pretty extensively when he was down here. He was down here all last offseason. We worked together, and then Austin has had some small injury issues that we've worked through as well. So I've got to spend a lot of time with him. Great kid, kind of pure Georgia boy, but a great guy.
That's like, I feel like you're in work mode right now. Like you just got into like your work mode shit. Like, damn, you're talking like in your trader jargon, which is, this is so like anti-Hitman right now. I love it. All right. So you live in Bradenton, rather, where all the old fucking people live. How long have you been in Florida for?
So this is my fifth year in Florida. Before that, I was up at Ohio State coaching for like, I think it was Ohio State for 8 years before I came down with the staff that moved down here. No, I was actually on the Olympic side. So I was under coach by the name of Glass that worked on the Olympic side, worked with some track and field, baseball, some stuff like that up there as well. Then before that, then I worked with some football at a big Division II was my first job, University of Central Oklahoma out in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've traveled quite a bit. That's really awesome. And you enjoyed your time up in Columbus?
Oh, yeah, I love Columbus. I'm from about 20 miles southeast of Columbus originally.
Okay, interesting. Alrighty. So let's switch gears a little bit from your life and then into making why you wanted to join a league like this. Have you ever done anything this extensive?
No, I mean, pretty much mostly redraft. I've done some redraft with, you know, the occasional keeper or two, but for me, it was just getting a little bit boring, to be honest, with the redraft leagues. Not really a fan of kind of rolling the dice on whatever pick you get, and that makes your team. So I looked for something a little more extensive and happened to, it was on a message board, happened to see you guys have an opening, applied, and then happened to go through the whole application process and I guess made it through for better or worse.
Nice. Where'd you find us, RotoWorld?
Yeah, Roto-World, I believe.
Okay, so yeah, you're enjoying yourself so far. I mean, thank you for stepping up, doing a show. Not all the new owners that have joined this league, man. Like they don't like they say they were gonna do are gonna do content, and then they end up not doing it. So not just the fact that you've done content, but the fact that you've done it at such a high level with really good quality. Is a really testament to you, your intelligence, and what you've brought here, despite having a coming into a really bad situation. In my opinion, the second worst situation out of any GM ever. Nate's Detroit in particular was the worst. So, with your team pretty much looking like a virtual guarantee to have a multi-year rebuild, what are your initial thoughts on your current rebuilding process, and what are your expectations this year and next? And correct me if I'm wrong, because I make general statements sometimes, and maybe you're just like, bitch, I'm fucking going 11 and 5.
No, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at this team, pretty dire shape, especially when I got here, really thin on offense. Defense, there were some pieces, and then obviously Quan was one of those that I ended up trading away for a first round pick and some other some running backs, Buck Allen and Eckler. My main goal really this year was, one, I wanted to get some picks, but then also I don't want to give up and not compete at all. So really just trying to get some pieces like an Allen and an Eckler on offense, grabbing an Eifert, Brates, guys like that, that only maybe an injury away from being a piece. Those are probably not going to be guys, honestly, that if Alex Collins went down right now, I would probably hold on to Allen and try to compete for as long as I can. I'm not about trying to give up and roll for a couple first round picks. It's not me. Now, at some point, inevitably, that may happen as we get later in the season and we get near a trade deadline. But that being said, nah, it's definitely got a couple years here rebuilding this year and next. This year, if I finish somewhere around that 7-9 that I know Old El Raven had predicted, that would be a pretty solid with the team that I have. That being said, I'll just roll with the punches, put out the best team I can, and continue make some moves to try to rebuild for 2019 and 2020.
You know what? Like that's absolutely the right way of going about that. And from a strategic perspective, it's, in my opinion, unless you're getting a lot of value on your trades, the right decision because you are gonna have a high draft pick if you're good. So you finish seven or mediocre. You finish 7-9 and you have a high points four, you're gonna be sitting there really fucking happy because you're gonna have a top three pick. If you still have your first round pick, which do
Nah, I
you?
think Aaron traded that to Eric. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard about that trade or not.
I haven't heard about that trade. I'm sure, I mean, I fucking talk so much shit, I can't remember. But like, I'm sure I was a big fucking or like opponent of that trade when it went down in the trade deadline.
I love it.
Fun thing with Aaron. So there, I knew he was not good at this from like literally a sentence that he said. So it was like combine time, okay? And it's going about Leonard Fournette, and he's like, "Man, Leonard Fournette is good." And I'm like, okay, why is he good? Like, he's your favorite prospect. And he couldn't find, he didn't know. Like, I was just like, I don't know what to say. Except bet him. You know what I fucking did? I bet him $50 every single year that he would finish in last place in this division. I was 1 for 3. Yeah, I was 1 for 3 until you came
Oh, I
in.
love it. I love it.
So your hitman, he was a bet, dumb fucking motherfucker. Your hitman show is amazing.
Thanks.
What does that stem from? Like, where does that, what, why did you go the route you did with the 70s, 80s, and 90s music and just, the hitman theme?
Hey man, I mean, growing up, my mom and dad always big 70s and 80s people. Mom was a big disco music. Pops was a big REO Speedwagon, AC/DC. So I grew up on all that. And then obviously, when I was a teenager is when I was hitting all of the 90s and super into grunge, probably rocking some JNCO jeans and
What?
back. Yeah, exactly. That was me when I was growing up. So I kind of came around. My music was the 90s. Mom's music was the disco and the 70s soul music. And pop was crushing classic rock and some metal. So I kind of got a whole mix. So when I started rolling with the show, big music fan. And I thought, you know what? I don't really want to mess with the video stuff. I want to play good music and throw a voice. And first thing when I got on, kind of that whisper hitman voice rolled out and just rolled with it after the first one, just let it go.
Oh my God. Could you do it real quick? Like just, hey, it's Corey with WDUI or whatever.
Hey, this is the Hitman on XK679, and you are listening to the hits of the 70s and 80s.
Holy fucking fuck. Wow. That is
It's like
even.
the
It should just, we should just wrap it up. Like, that's, but I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Yeah, no problem.
Thoughts on your division mates, Brad, Mark, and Travis. Who do you got winning it this year?
So to be honest, Travis, I mean, I haven't really got to know Travis a lot, so I'm not going to be able to speak a ton on him. I mean, he's been a little bit quieter in terms of us talking. We talked a little bit at the beginning when I think when I traded Rudolph in division, good for me. But obviously, I've made not a stranger to in division trades. But in terms of Brad and Mark, they're even though those two are very competitive, from what I'm seeing, is they're very different. It looks like Brad really works his ass off and really hunts the waiver all the time, trying to find kind of something to take advantage of a situation in somebody else's team and work from there. Whereas Mark really studies the college game, it looks like. And I mean, kind of like L. Raven said on his last R&T, when you have the first pick, it's not that hard to rebuild a team. But that same point, the knowledge that he works with on those college guys, you can tell that is where he tries to study and build from the draft, where Brad's kind of trying to build from veteran players that he's trading from and guys that he's picking up off the waiver wire. But to be honest with you, I mean, both teams really solid. I think that I actually like Brad's team a little bit better just because I'm worried about Mark's depth. If something happens offensively, he may end up in a little bit of trouble if he gets all the way through the season without that happening. Good for him. And I think that he probably will make that run because his running backs are just so solid that he's rolling with the amount of points that those guys are going to be able to put up week in and week out. If they can stay healthy, it's going to be hard to beat. But I mean, it's even though this division's tough, it's pretty good to learn from those guys and watch those guys. And in the division, you really have to pay attention to what those guys are doing and try to emulate little things that they're doing to try to make myself a little bit better.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. In the AFC East, it's going to be tough annually because I'll tell you what. Travis is low key very underrated. He's done very well. He's been a playoff team, or at least a borderline playoff team both years. Then he got Mark and Brad, who are two of not just two of the best owners in the AFC, but the whole entire league have had annual success, and also have a really fucking amazing rivalry too. So you're just in like this w really weird division, but it's I think you're gonna do fine. But finally, let's wrap this shit up. Just tell us a funny story. What do you I don't know, what do you have for breakfast
Yeah, I actually when you sent me that, I wasn't really sure what story. You kind of prepped me with the question. I wasn't sure what story to tell you. And then my fiance was actually like, "Hey, you should tell him about your first job out in Oklahoma and what happened when you kicked out of the weight room." So I'm like, "Okay." So my first job out in Oklahoma City, I was 22 or 23 years old, straight out of college. and there's only two of us out there, the head guy, myself. We're like in week three, and the football team was traveling on the road, so the head strength conditioning coach goes with the football guys. I take over the Friday. We have a freshman group coming in, lift them at noon, out by 1, closing the doors by 1:30. I got a tea time at 2 o'clock. So we had a new transfer in that has separated shoulders. His name was Ray. So Ray comes in, and it's like 1:15. I'm wiping down everything. I'm like, okay, awesome. I can maybe hit the range before this. Well, Ray, Coach Cook wanted you to meet my brother. So his brother comes in, tall dude, super athletic. He's like, yeah, I want to know if he'd get a quick workout in. I was like, oh, man, I'm just wrapping up shop here. The guy goes, oh, hey, my name's Russell. Nice to meet you, da-da-da. So I'm like, hey, man, I'm out of here. I've got to close up shop. So I got to tell you, I can't let you in here. The guy's like, you sure? I mean, I can't just get a quick one in. Like, no, got to let you out. So, or got to kick you out. So this guy's super nice. Okay, no problem. No problem, man. And so kick this guy basically out of the weight room. So come back on Monday. Head coach is back there. He goes, hey, you meet Ray's brother? He's like, oh, yeah. He goes, did he want to work out? And I was like, yeah, but don't worry, man. I didn't let him in. You know, I didn't have any waivers or anything like that. I wasn't just letting some random guy in. He goes, you know Ray's last name, right? I was like, no. And he goes, Westbrook, Russell Westbrook. So I kicked his ass out of the weight room. I'm like, oh, my God. And he's like, how the fuck did you not know who Russell Westbrook was? I was like, dude, I'm from Ohio. Cleveland has Jadrunas Algauskas. I don't watch basketball. Well, fucking no.
I mean, wow. He wasn't favorite. So he was on the Thunder
At that point. We were like 10 minutes north of Oklahoma City, and he and James Harden used to come shoot around all the time. Once I realized who it was, then those guys used to come shoot around all the time with our men's and women's basketball team and then duck in and get a workout in if they needed to. Of course, like my third day on the job, I'm just trying to hold it down and not let some random dudes walking in the weight room, somebody get hurt, my ass get fired. And then I realized that I'm kicking out a dude that is actually a good friend of the school and is Russell Westbrook. So fast forward 2 years later, he wins the MVP, and I'm cheering for him in Oklahoma City, but he, I don't think, wanted any part of me at that point.
I'm sure, absolutely not.
So,
God. Maybe he could have just said, hey, man, I'm a Cleveland fan. Yeah. Sorry for kicking out of the gym that one
time. At that point, LeBron wasn't around, so he probably didn't even know there was a basketball team in Cleveland. No, LeBron had to be around, I guess, if he was in the league, but yeah.
Yeah, he was in Miami.
Yeah.
So. All right, Corey. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's a good time, and I love this series. Getting to know some guys, it's great. If you acknowledge us in any other way, the positive, but you shouldn't be hollering or talking about Superman when you live in the metropolis. And if you follow astronomy, I'm a tourist. That means I don't give a fuck what you thought of me. I walk into an interview like a lobotomy, flipping my middle finger at everybody who watching us. Fuck that. Bring the beat back. Hit a shizzle mentally, the body with a reflex. Nah, fuck that. With a key fast. Finger a little bit on the quarter of my reset. Give me a minute, I took a hit. I'm trying to focus like a stigmatism. My competition, I'm addicted like the zip of my denim. They want the heat, I light them up like a pair of cigarettes. Send them, you bitch. What's your religion? I wanna know what God you're seeing in a couple of seconds. I wanna see the criticism about my lyricism when I'm in your face, ripping this rhythm up like cannibalism. It's kills.